This is a replay of the Wednesday night, March 12th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. Analyst Sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 big hours to spend together and no show tomorrow night. So if it's on your mind, this is the night to get there. And that's 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE. And we will get to the Federal Trade Commission data. I found it so interesting, mostly demographically speaking, but also in terms of how much scams are increasing year to year. You know, you would think, well, the pandemic, of course, everybody's at home. You'd be surprised in 1 year alone what the jump is. So we'll talk about all that and more. But before we do, Jim is in Richmond. So, Jim, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh, and I'm glad you talked about scams.
Yeah.
Because today I got a text message from a company, you know, it's McAfee, and they said that my subscription has been unpaid,
yes,
and if I don't answer, they're going to go to my account.
Right.
So I deleted it and reported it as junk.
Good.
And then not 10 minutes later, I got a repeat message that says you owe us $48 if you don't pay the way, you know. And then they said we're going to, and I deleted it and I reported it as junk.
Right.
Then I went to my settings and I went under subscriptions, and there's nothing under there.
Well, of course.
So
not.
I knew it was a scam.
Yeah, no, of course.
So I want people
not.
To know that now it's they're saying McAfee for your security on your computer.
Right, that's a very common one. There's literally hundreds of that they're doing right now, and it is amazing how many are out there. And that tells you that some people are falling for it. But yeah, virus protection and all that's been big over the last 5-6 years, where you get a ton of those emails. And what they're hoping, of course, is somebody who does subscribe to these services thinks that it might be true. Again, we'll say it as we say it every time. If you get an email or a text, never respond directly to it. If you think there might be some merit, you on your own web browser, go to the site that has the data and find out whether it's real.
Right. And I have no subscriptions on my
phone,
except an offer for Apple One, but I ignored that.
Right.
And then I wanted to tell you, yesterday I wanted to call, and then your tone of the day switched to the guy that comes on after you. But yesterday, my brother, who'll do anything for anybody, he does a lot of work for his doctor.
Yeah.
So the doctor wanted a hole in one of his counters to put in a line to come to his computer.
Okay.
So my brother gets up and he says, well, I have to go get a grommet and I have to go get the hole saw to drive it into your counter.
Right.
So he heads to Menards.
Okay.
So he gets to Menards, and he's walking into Menards, and he trips and falls.
Oh, no.
And he's a huge guy, 6'4", and everything.
No.
And he slams down on the ground, and he's laying on the ground, and he's in tremendous pain. And an employee that was probably bringing in carts or something comes up to him, and he said, "Just leave me alone." And he gets into his car, and, he probably, you can talk on your phone without even have to dial anything. He calls the doctor and all that. They told him to go to the emergency room.
Right.
So he goes to the emergency room, and then he finds out that he, I don't know if you call it dislocated or separated, his shoulder.
Oh, geez.
So they had to put him out.
Right.
He was, anesthetized.
Right.
And they put the shoulder back in its socket, I guess is what they call
right.
it. And so now he drove himself to the emergency room, and this is the kind of guy that he was having chest pains, and he drove himself to the emergency
right,
room.
Right.
So then finally, my younger brother called me to tell him what was going on, and he was giggling because of the fact that he fell and everything. And so I talked to him later that night, and he goes, "I'm home. I'm fine." Well, his arm is, strapped in a device that he can't move his arm.
Right.
And he has to take care of his wife. He can't pick his wife up or anything anymore.
No.
So, and I was so frustrated about that. And then,
What did he trip over?
A curb.
Okay.
But the way my younger brother described it, it was that little strip that they have because he has handicap sticker because of his two replacement on his knees.
Right.
I think it was a strip that blocks off people from parking into the
into the
handicap.
Yes.
It's like a black strip.
Yes.
I think that's what he tripped over.
Oh, jeez.
And Wednesday we're supposed to go to the eye doctor in Libertyville, and he goes, "Don't worry, I'm driving you."
Oh, geez.
But it's luckily it's his left shoulder, and I don't know if we're still going, but it was just, to me, it's like this guy, he's like, a bull in the china
right.
shop. No one's going to keep him from what he's doing.
Right, right.
So I talked to him today, and they gave him pain medication, and he goes, "I'm not taking that S, because I'll take aspirin,
All right.
He said it gave me a headache.
Well, among other things, yeah, I'm sure that it did. All right. Well,
right.
I'm glad he's well, but many
right.
many other people would be calling their lawyer before they called their doctor. So
I'm mad at him because they didn't report it to the store, and he goes, "Boy, I was stupid. I fell." But, they're in their parking lot,
Well, it should be reported to the store, not necessarily for compensation or anything like that, but the store should be aware of the hazard.
Right. And there was an employee that saw him fell, but just,
right.
walked away.
Right.
Know? So, so I was frustrated that he didn't report it to the store.
Yeah.
Then I wanted to tell you about a few other things.
Uh-huh.
And something funny today happened, and I know this is not a political show, but in Wisconsin here, we have a major battle to go for the state Supreme Court.
Okay.
And even Elon Musk has put several million dollars into one of the candidates. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're not a politician, but all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and I answer the door. And the lady comes up and she goes, "Hi, are you going to vote on, April 1st? And I go, "I don't know if I can because I can't read."
Good for you.
And that's what I told her. "I can't read." "Oh, can you get someone to take you?" And I go, "My friend is available, but I don't know if she's not available that day." oh, we should go really hard to find you an absentee ballot. And I thought it was very funny because this was the opposite candidate of the one that Musk is, going for. But it was just funny that she was coming up to me, and it's the commercials here. If you watch the commercials on TV, you wouldn't vote for either one of them because they're so horrible. And I've told people that. I said these two both should be arrested for what wrongs they've done.
Jeez.
And it's ridiculous.
Well,
and then,
I was going to say, that's the outreach program, door to door, get the voters to vote, even if they have no idea what they might be voting for.
And then there were two people in the car, and they went to the guy next door, and the guy called me an hour later, and he goes, "Did people show up at your house?" And I go, "Yeah." And I told him what I said, and he goes, "That was good, because I told the guy to get off my porch."
All right.
I wanted to tell you about an insurance thing.
Okay.
Do you have time?
Go for it.
My younger brother has a pacemaker that's a defibrillator. And he's self-employed. He's been self-employed since we worked for the same company, but he got fired. And he's been self-employed for years. So he has, I don't want to mention the name of the the insurance company, but it's HMO. So with his pacemaker, it's a defibrillator because he blacks out. So he goes to the doctor this year, in January, and they tell him, "Oh, we're not accepting your insurance anymore." And so they monitor his pacemaker, and if he has any problems, they call him. So he calls the insurance company, and they said, "Well, it's an HMO. He says, "Well, we can extend your insurance, but it'll cost you $400 more a month."
What?
Yes. And he goes, "What are you, crazy?" So now he's running around trying to find a new cardiac guy who can handle his, his pacemaker and stuff. Yeah. And he's having a problem. And I think this is utterly ridiculous. Because in the doctor's office, if he has an incident, they'll let him know, And
he needs to be monitored. But as you well know, when you're talking about HMOs, the upside is they're very affordable, and the downside is that managed care is strictly managed. Now, with that in mind,
right,
is he Medicare eligible?
No, he's 63.
Okay, so we're talking.
Because I didn't know he was 63.
Yeah, well,
We're all up there,
Right.
I'm 71, going to be 72.
Yeah.
All
right.
And
well,
I figured it out. My mom had seven kids in 12 years, so
okay.
He's
All right. Well, he needs to. He absolutely. The first order of business is he needs to be monitored. So no matter what, he needs to find a doctor. But the other thing is, he probably, if he can, needs to change insurance. But I don't know what is involved in that. But the first order of business is he can't go without being monitored. So, that's number one.
So Wednesday, he has an appointment at another hospital because it's got to be related to a hospital. So I hope he gets coverage.
I hope so too.
I think this really sucks.
Well, that's what I say. Sometimes you get what you pay for, and sadly, people find out very much the hard way what HMOs might do to you.
Right, but being self-employed,
Well, no, I believe me. Believe me, I understand. It was there weren't many other options. Well, I wish him the best, but as I say, the only thing I can weigh in on is you can't allow the medical necessity to be monitored go while you're dealing with this.
Right. And he's mad because this is the doctor that helped him, because he used to, several times, he just pass out, boom, he was down,
right.
And then go to the hospital and then, get revived.
Yeah.
And then they put the pacemaker in, and now this guy won't cover him, It's like the guy should look to help him, the doctor,
Well, that's a whole other subject, of course. But hopefully he will find somebody. Keep me posted on that and also on your brother.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. He says he's still going to drive me Wednesday to the doctor. And I'm going, he goes to me, my arm is strapped to my body.
Right.
I talked to the doctor today, and the doctor goes, can you move your arm? And he goes, no, it's strapped to my body.
Right.
And he goes, Wednesday I have an orthopedic appointment. And I go, wait a minute, you're taking me to my eye doctor? And he goes, well, I told him I can't come till Thursday.
Okay.
So this is the guy that will walk through a fire for you.
Yeah, well, and he clearly will. Well, hopefully by next Wednesday he'll be feeling a little better. But keep me posted.
Okay, I will.
All right,
and
thanks.
Thank you for taking my call.
Always. Good to hear from you, Jim. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. All right, so we'll get to Linda in Richland Park, who had the wrong request last night, and I think I've got the right one. I think I know what she wants, and we'll figure that out. We have all your requests, by the way. We've got James with in Green Valley with more scam alerts, and Donna in Oaklawn, advice for Jim. All right, well, that's good, too. But in the meantime, radio advice. Yeah, I know if you listen to this show, you love radio. And if you love radio, undoubtedly, you know about the Sea Crane Company, so I probably don't have to tell you anything. But if for some reason you don't, go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. You're going to find some great products and great information about radio, too. It's a real resource as well as a place to get some really, really good radios. And the one thing they all have in common is they have terrific reception because Bob Crane many years ago was as disgusted as some of us were with the quality of reception. And he said, I can do better. And he does. That's the commonality with every radio that he develops. And all of them have a number of unique features, and one of the neatest is the CC Skywave SSB2. And of course, when we talk about emergency radios, you want to make sure that they have the weather band and a weather alert and all that kind of stuff. But the more information you can get, the more the better off you are. And with the SSB2 with single sideband, you get information that you're never going to hear on your cell phone, and you may hear it first. Not only that type of emergency information, but you can listen to your favorite AM and FM broadcasts anytime with the kind of reception you only dream of. Just terrific. And by the way, when there's no emergency on sideband, you'll hear ham radio operators from all over the world, which is a lot of fun. It's just a terrific little radio. It'll fit in the palm of your hand. It weighs only 8 ounces. And as I say, the reception is excellent. And what you get the radio, you get the terminal antenna adapter for shortwave, you get a portable 23-foot shortwave antenna, you get high-quality original CC earbuds, and this is really nice because while it's amazingly good to hear something right out of the speaker, for a speaker this size, it sounds great. And nothing beats hearing it in full fidelity, and you'll do that with the original CC buds that are included. You also get a fake leather carrying case as far as that goes. But the entire weight without batteries is 6 ounces, and with them it'll run you about 8 ounces, and it is just an amazing little radio. Now, ccradio.com, you can read all about the CC Skywave SSB2. But if you can't go online, they've got the world's best customer service, and they'd love to hear from you. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. They'll send you a hard copy of the catalog in the mail if you want. You can order right on the phone. So whether it's online or on the phone, check them out, ccradio.com. Yeah, available on Amazon for really quick shipping. But before you do that, go to ccradio.com and look at it for yourself, the CC Skywave SSB2. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Third World, Now That We've Found Love. And that's 7 minutes and 37 seconds long, so we probably won't be playing all of it, to say the least. And Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff wrote that, and that was on Island, actually, in 1978. And I think that is the Now That We've Found Love that that Linda wanted to hear, but she'll tell us. So, Linda, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you for having me, and you know that is the right song that I was talking about.
All right. Very good.
That's a good, happy song. Spread the love all over.
There you are. Yeah.
So I just called back to let you know, because the other one was kind of a hip-hop, you know.
Oh,
I
yeah. Heavy
really
D.
I couldn't get it. Yeah, my kids used to love Heavy D. But I called because I wanted you to also know that I finally got me an appointment to see a retina specialist. I'm very happy about
that. Oh, good. Where is it?
It's in Harvey, and it's going to be at Ingalls Hospital.
Okay.
And, I go Friday at 1 o'clock, so I'm asking everybody out there that's listening, say a prayer for me.
Absolutely.
She might be able to help me in some way, and I want to thank Jim for telling me to check out the retina specialist.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm happy. I'm so happy. So I said, I'm not going to take your time, but play me a happy song that I used to dance to when I was a teenager at home with my mom and dad, Goldfinger. Every time I hear that song, I would jump up and dance, my sister and I. And it's Ladies' Night. We love that song. It's
now, are you
Night.
Talking about the Shirley Bassey Goldfinger?
I don't know. It's a whole it's crowd of people. They just Goldfinger. It's an instrumental.
Oh. Yeah, all right.
It's instrumental.
Yes,
nobody's
singing. Yes. I'm gonna look for that. I think it's Booker T, actually.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I hate to come up with some songs that nobody can hardly find. I guess I come up with some weird songs sometimes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We will find that. And
was Goldfinger from a movie or something?
Well, yeah, it was. But I don't think, by the way, that the title is Goldfinger. I mean, it's definitely in there. Finger is in there. But yes, Goldfinger was a Shirley Bassey song from the mid-60s. It was a James Bond movie. You know, your basic stuff.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, it's an all instrumental version. Goldfinger.
Yeah, right.
With the horns.
Yes, right. It's Booker T, and I'll come up with it, but no, you got the wrong title. But now that'll give me something to think about here, and hopefully before the end of the night it will come to me and I will play it.
You are so nice to me, and you know you are about the best.
Yeah. What I'm thinking it might be is Soulfinger.
Oh, maybe that's what they're saying, Soulfinger.
yeah. No, this is, and that was the Barquets, actually. Let me let you hear that. It just came to me when you were saying Goldfinger. I bet you it's Soulfinger, the Barquets. So let me, if I can get this mouse to work, I'll actually pull it up. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you'll tell me this was the Barquets doing Soulfinger.
That's it. Yep. That's the song.
Yeah, it's Soulfinger. Yes, Soulfinger.
Oh, it's Soulfinger.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought they were saying Goldfinger. Nope. I'm getting old.
Nope. Yeah, the Barquets did it. Also, Booker T did as well. But the Barquets is the version I play on KJ. So I will play that for you as our next bumper.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I want everybody to be happy with me because I got an appointment to see the doctor. I didn't have to wait 2 or 3 months. So
I'm so glad. I can't wait for next week to hear all about it. And you're more than welcome
for all
of it.
I thank you for everything. You are the beautifulest person I know. Okay.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's right. Soulfinger. I knew it would come to me sooner or later. And, yeah. All right, that kind of stuff drives me crazy, so it's good to have that settled. All right, so we have, let's see here. We lost Jay. Jay was going to talk. Oh, no, we still have Jay. We're in Green Valley. We're talking about scams, but Donna has advice for Jim. So, Donna, what you got?
Okay, Raleigh, I used to work at a hospital, and trust me in saying this, the doctors who signed contracts with the insurance companies, they sign more than one contract. Otherwise, they'd be in the poorhouse.
Well, of course.
So, Jim's brother, who is 63, who has an HMO, the insurance company who his brother goes to probably changed their policy in the start of January, they all did. But it was not the only contract that doctor has. So if Jim's brother calls the doctor's office and asks to speak to the billing department who takes care of and keeps track of all the different contracts, they usually average from 50 to 75, some are over 100 contracts, the billing department will be able to tell him which of their insurance companies will cover his pacemaker charges.
Well, right. But one of the problems is, since he's at this point in time, it's hard these days to change insurance in March. But it's a great suggestion, and one of the things they may also be able to do for him is find out if there are any other doctors in the hospital who, in fact, would take his insurance.
Well, his insurance is still not going to cover the pacemaker.
Well, that depends.
Contract.
Yeah, I wonder about that. And that's something to investigate, too. I don't think they can just decide they're not covering pacemakers. Probably there has to be certain medical criteria, and he has to find a doctor who can claim he's met it. Fascinating.
That's a stretch with an HMO.
Oh, I know, but he may not be able to change.
Well, at 63, he can still probably, I think there's still wiggle room.
As far as that.
Medicare.
Because
Medicare has the added onus that they're not going to take anybody to change after your birth date.
Well, yeah, that first year, the world is your oyster, and that's when you need to make your decisions, of course. But, yeah, that's a great idea. He can start there and find out what the heck is going on.
And the next step is to talk to his hospital.
Yes. And they absolutely would know across the board what was up with that. Good
so
idea.
When you get into the hospital billing department, with the hospital billing department, the amount of contracts that they sign are close to 500.
Of course, easily. But hopefully someone will take the time. Right. But hopefully someone will take the time to go over that and find somebody who would cover that.
Well, we sure hope so.
Yeah. Yeah,
there are at least one or two hospital insurance companies out there that still cover pacemaker monitoring. It's not scientific extravagance. You're not asking somebody to, chew gum and walk.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, hopefully there's a solution coming soon, and that's a great start. Thank you for that, Donna.
Raleigh, you take care and bless you.
All right, talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye, hon.
So, yes, indeed. And, remote monitoring absolutely is effective and has saved people a lot of grief health-wise and insurance companies a lot of money health-wise. So I would think that there's some way to do it. If not, they're also online. You can look. There are programs you'd have to sign up for it yourself, not your insurance, but that you can work with for remote monitoring, because that's really what you need. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Jay in Green Valley, and there's room for you too, and we'll get to Linda's request. That's right, Soul Finger coming up on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, Soul Finger. And if you're wondering who those background quote-unquote vocalists are, they were kids in the neighborhood who were loitering around the recording studio, and they herded them in, and they said, hey, we'll pay you in Coca-Cola. Literally, they gave them soda. And they were the ones who shouted, Soul Finger! So, indeed. I don't know how much Coke they drank. But in any event, that was done while the Bar Kays were rehearsing for a cover of J.J. Jackson's But It's All Right. And you can kind of hear that in the song. And it was kind of a riff from that. And so it was. And so it came together. And the idea for the shouts, by the way, came from Isaac Hayes and David Porter, who were there. Came in on Volt, obviously, in the Stax group. And they suggested, you know, why not do the kids shouting? And there it was. And it did well. Got to number 3 on the R&B singles chart nationally on Billboard. Got to number 17 on the pop chart. Yeah. So there. 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And that takes us to Jay in Green Valley. So, Jay, how is it going?
Hey, good evening. I had to sit back down from dancing. You know,
that's yeah, you and Linda.
Moving music.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It sounds like you're looking at the same thing I am that the consumer FTC put out about top scams of 2024.
Yeah, that and the companion article that I found somewhere about who was most likely to fall victim, and you probably read this as well, it shocked the hell out of me because you normally would think that it was, in fact, seniors and those of us who are a little befuddled about being online. But the biggest losers are Gen Z and millennials.
Yeah, so younger people reported losing money to fraud more often than older people, between 20 and 29-year-old, 44%.
Right.
And 44%, and then the seniors, 70 to 79, was 24%.
And I also think that when you're looking at raw numbers, of course, there are so many more Gen Z and millennials online than seniors that you've got a bigger pool to start with. And I understand that. But even so, I looked at that and thought, wow, you'd normally think that that a Gen Z would be very hip to what was going on with this. But apparently they're very likely to fall victim.
Yep. It's amazing. And just so you the numbers of total amount of money that was lost between 2023 and 2024 was up.
Yeah, 12.5 billion. Yeah, 25.5 billion.
Yeah, and that's
so
right.
That's a 25% increase, like you say, in 1 year. And also, I'm sure you saw this too, in 2023, 27% of the people who reported fraud said they lost money. Last year, 38% said it. So,
right.
Yeah. And of course, number one with a bullet. I think this surprised me a little. It shouldn't have, though. The number one scam are investment scams.
Right.
That, like I say, I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought imposter, maybe the number two scams would have done it. Romance, of course, is always high. But apparently, we're greedy enough that we're ready to fall for those investment scams.
Yeah, when I'm looking at top frauds, imposters, one, online shopping and negative reviews.
Right.
Two, business and job opportunities. Three.
Right.
So if you're going to LinkedIn or whatever, those people are going for those scams. Investments, you're right, number four. And that's where you can invest in CryptoCoin and stuff
God.
Like that.
Yeah, which is just amazing to me that people fall for that. But like you you mentioned the job and unemployment agency stuff, it is astounding to me that in 2020, $90 million were lost to employment scams. Last year, $501 million.
Yeah.
Astounding.
Yeah, it's happening. Just tonight, what was interesting on the TV news was this poor family, their father, it's an older family, their father was entrapped in a romance scam, and they're trying to convince this guy that it's a scam, and they just couldn't convince this guy.
I know, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? And you hear about this all the time. And we've even had some callers where it was, you know, wait a minute, slow down. But oh, no, this is true. Yeah, just heartbreaking that happens. Of course, when they find out, they're not only out money, but more to the point, it's an emotional loss.
Oh, yeah. How about can I give you the, to report fraud to the FTC, can I give you that web address?
Absolutely.
You can put it on your,
Absolutely.
Okay. And I'll go slow. It's real simple. It's And then I'll tell you about reverse AI scams.
Okay.
Reportfraud.ftc.gov.
Okay, that's easy. Reportfraud.ftc.gov. All right. No,
that's it.
And of course, report fraud is one word. So no spaces. Reportfraud.ftc.gov. Yeah, no, that's great.
Now, I'll tell you a couple neat things. I'm calling them reverse AI.
Uh-huh.
And one is out of the UK. Somebody put an AI thing together and she's called Daisy. And so scammers call in to somebody's running Daisy, and it just wastes their time to no end. So that's good.
Yeah.
And another one, a guy from the United States, and if you're on YouTube, you can look him up. His name again is Kit Boga, KITBOGA, and you can watch him scam people real time, usually in the morning, on YouTube, and he's got an AI machine that's just wasting a lot of time for the scammers.
Which is perfect, because that's exactly what you want to do. Now, there was a guy who used to drive telemarketers crazy, Tom Mabe. You've probably seen some of his videos. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I've wondered, I haven't kept up with him, but I wonder if he has branched out into scammers, because he'd be perfect.
The only one I heard that he, and it was a long time ago, that a scammer had called, well, it wasn't a scammer, but it was somebody calling in, and he acted like he was a detective.
Yeah, right, exactly. He was going to arrest the guy for murder. Yes, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a telemarketer. And that's Tom used to actually go to the telemarketing conferences just to drive them crazy. But I think he would have been perfect for, and maybe he's still around, but would have been perfect for upsetting scammers.
I think I'm gonna have to research that, because
he's a guy from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tom, it is M-A-B-E, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, right, exactly. M-A-B-E. You get it.
I'll go look that up. That's all I've got, so I'm glad you're on it, and thank you for your airtime. You're helping a lot of people out, Raleigh.
Well, it's always good to hear from you. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So reportfraud.ftc.gov. And I will put that on the website in case you do forget it. But again, there are some basic things you can do. And email is still the number one way they're scamming you. And telephone is number two. Text is number three, but rising. And the bottom line is that don't act on any of that, period. If they call, hang up. If you see an email, delete it. If you get a text message, delete it. Now, at the same time, if you're saying, well, maybe there's something to it, then go to the website of whatever it is. You know, if it's a credit card issuer, you go there yourself. And if you have an account with them, obviously, or the bank or what have you, do not ever click links in any of these emails, period. And that will save you right there. Now, of course, the other thing with financial fraud is, bank online at your own risk, but don't put yourself in harm's way. Never use public Wi-Fi, things of that nature. Make your password hard, but even so, just being online requires you to have another layer of protection that you really need to be very acutely aware that, this information can be gotten, and it usually is by social engineering. That's right. They talk it out of you. So there's some things to worry about. We'll get to more stories more often. And I've got a woman. Oh, well, I'll just save it. I'll save it for right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Give me just a little more. Oh,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, of course, it's General Johnson, chairman of the board. And give me just a little more time. It's interesting because General Johnson wrote some amazing songs. And, of course, that was on Invictus. And that was Holland Dozier Holland's label. Well, Holland Dozier Holland had nothing to do with writing it, and neither did General Johnson. But there you have. Give me just a little more time. And sadly, rest in peace, General Johnson. And it was Harry in Winnipeg who emailed that he wanted to hear it, and I'm happy to play it. Now, there was something else I meant to do. Where is now? Oh, here it is. All right. All right. So over the, I guess it was last Friday night, We were out at dinner after one of John's medical appointments, and interestingly, John was wearing his WGN shirt, and the restaurant manager said, "Oh my God, are you from WGN?" and all this, and so we started to talk, and his whole family still lives in Chicago, so his name is Stephen Henry, and I said that I would say hello to his family on the air, and I now have. So yeah, by the way, Stephen manages the Longhorn Steakhouse, and it was really good. We had a great meal, and he was just a delight. So hopefully some of Stephen Henry's family is listening and knows that Stephen made good out in Arizona. Indeed. All right. So 888-876-5593. Like I say, you need your pencils ready because you will be drawing a Venn diagram before it's over, I'm sure. All right. So why? Well, actually, the story's so strange, it's difficult to know where to begin. So we'll give you her name first. Kimberly Temple of Tell City, Indiana. And she's also, by the way, accused of felony attempted burglary. But here is the deal. She was married, and she got married again while she was still married. The second man she married was her biological father. All right, so now she only married his dad, and I think this is where the felony attempted bigamy comes in, to collect his $350 a month Department of Veterans Affairs benefits while he was in prison. And according to Fort Wayne's 21 Live News, she was reportedly divorcing the first guy she married. Hell, he probably ran for the hills long ago. When she tied the knot with Dad last July. Now, Temple is 44. Dad is 59. So he was a busy 15-year-old. So their father-daughter relationship is complicated from the start. Reports say she was estranged from her father when they reconnected through the letters and emails he was sending while in prison. He could send emails? Could it have been some kind of misunderstanding? No. Kimberly's sister gets in the act who says, no, she's well aware McCollum is her father. Now, he, by the way, is also facing charges, but he's in prison already, so I guess for a longer stay, including the fact that he failed to mention on his marriage license to his daughter that he was a convicted sex offender involving children. I am not making this up. Police also allege he lied about his address. And both of them lied, confirming they were not closer than second cousins. That's on the license? Well, I don't know. Indiana, if you were married there, maybe you know. The biggest issue was in regard to their actual relationship, says the probation officer. Yeah, the police public information officer, actually, Anthony. Anthony said they both answered the question saying they were not closely related, that was later determined to be false. So that was some of the issues that came up with falsifying the marriage application. Like I say, I didn't know that was on the question, but it makes sense, I guess. Father-daughter relationship aside, for the period of time when she married Dad, she was still legally married to a prior husband, which, of course, made it illegal to marry anyone else, even in Utah. So they moved in together because McCollum was ultimately released from prison. But before long, he was back. That's for a probation violation. And actually, this is when they married. And I don't know what he did when they were living together and they got the probation violation. But that's probably what motivated them to get married so that she could get the VA money. So now, Kimberly Temple is released from custody. Her father is still in jail for probation on an unrelated case. I do not have anything about a court date. Now, by the way, it's confirmed that paternity tests prove McCollum and Temple are, in fact, father and daughter. However, they're saying it's not true. They're saying they have not yet confirmed the information pending further testing. And the bottom line is that, it's made social media, if nothing else. My favorite response? I don't even. Yeah, I agree. All right, so that's Kimberly Temple, And just when you think you've heard it all. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. If it's on your mind, I don't think you can top that, but maybe you've got something else to discuss, and I'd love to hear it. All right, so there's no show tomorrow night because of sports. And, of course, Friday is a replay of trivia, so the next time we meet is Monday. We do have a full three-hour trivia show Monday, and I'm pleased about that. We've got interruptions Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll lose about an hour on Tuesday and Thursday and about an hour and a half on Wednesday. Well, Blackhawks hockey on Tuesday and Thursday, and NCAA college basketball on Wednesday. So that's the schedule. But meantime, while you're marking your calendars, full moon this Friday morning, if you want to bay at it, and that's March 14th at 1:54 a.m. Central. And Mercury goes into retrograde Saturday, March 15th. At 2:46 in the morning, and it emerges direct on April 7th. Now, of course, we're already in the shadow of a retrograde, meaning doesn't mean anything. I've explained this so many times, it doesn't mean anything. All right, but as far as Mercury retrograde, you know, all planets other than the Sun and the Moon have apparent retrograde action. None of them actually move backwards. But from the Earth's vantage point, they appear to be moving backwards. Now, usually we don't care when it's Mars or Jupiter or Saturn or Uranus or any of those. But when it's Mercury, there's such folklore about it that people pay attention. Because Mercury is when you should initiate a new contract. It's, don't sign, don't drive, don't, all that. It rules communication and travel. But, I don't think anybody's really done much of a study to see how valid this might be to anything that might interrupt your life. But what I do know, as I've said repeatedly on Mercury retrograde, this is not when the plane's going to crash. It's when they might lose your luggage. So it's not a deadly serious thing, but it's fun to note. And communication does get frazzled. And, I used to blame that so often on Mercury retrograde, but then I realized, no, in this day and age, communication is always frazzled. There is not a time that it's not. God forbid you've got to order DME supplies, durable medical equipment. Yeah. Oh, man. That was my day earlier today. We won't discuss it because I'm still healing. All right. So that in mind, let's see what else we can tell you on this March 12th. Alfred Hitchcock Day, National Working Moms Day, Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day, National Baked Scallops Day, Plant a Flower Day, and National Girl Scout Day, all on March 12th. How about that? So celebrate as you see fit, because I have absolutely no idea. However, Thursday it's National National Coconut Tort Day. I want to start celebrating right now. I don't know about you. And so it's also Open and Umbrella Indoors Day. I'll stick with the coconut torts. They sound just lovely. All right. So Carol reminds me it's National Earmuff Day and says, you've got to see the dog in the picture on this link. So I will, while we're talking to Eduardo in Tampa, I will look for the dog. So Eduardo, welcome to WGN Radio. Oh, wait, I can't say that until I put him on the air. Now I can. There you go. Speak, Eduardo.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I hope so.
Yeah. Hey, before I get on this student over there in Dominican Republic, the accommodations, you guys were talking about the WABC people.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's actually, besides the people you mentioned, yes, there's another guy, and he used to be in Congress, and he was in a scandal, Anthony Weiner. He also had a show, and he had a, because he's running for office too.
I'm aware of Anthony Weiner, but I didn't know he was on WABC. I thought it was another station.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, on Saturdays, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
All right. So there you go.
Yeah, so I never seen so many, I don't know, back in the day, you can recall so many people in a station that actually had to leave because they're running for office.
Well, and you do have to leave, but now that we cleared that up, he can, in the case of Frank Morano, he can still do a syndicated show every night, and people can ask him about it, I guess. But yeah, so add Anthony Weiner to, is it Curtis Sliwa, who's also running?
Curtis Sliwa, yeah, running for mayor, right?
Yeah, and then Frank Morano. Okay, well, very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not? So I wonder who's taking over for Anthony while he runs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got some subs here I never heard of before, but
just
they decided to go with subs instead of doing, repeat programming.
Well, repeat wouldn't help. It would still be his likeness. You don't want to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you don't want. You absolutely don't want to do that because that could trigger.
Okay, but that explains.
Yeah.
Yeah, that explains the quick action on the sub.
Yeah, absolutely, you don't want to do that. So, unless you want to give a lot of people equal time, now it could be fun, but I don't think that's their idea. So, so we have three then. All right. Well, very good.
Yeah, and Mr. Katz, he's got a place here with his wife in nearby St. Pete's. I saw that on the local Fox.
All right.
They had a little piece on her, yeah.
Well,
so,
you
interesting
know,
character.
Done very well for himself, and as a kid was a big fan of WABC and bought it. And few people have been able to do that. So in some ways it's a dream, and I'm sure that the nice thing is that the bulk of his money does not come from radio, so he can take a chance. He can do things that are fun because he's not dependent upon the income stream. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah, good for him. So I saw an Inside Edition. I know they're looking for this student here, but those accommodations over there were like third world. I mean, no lights, no running water. I saw this on Inside Edition. It was so like weird. So,
well, yeah, the Dominican. This is a student from the University of Pittsburgh, I think, who disappeared on vacation there. And they've got a person of interest who's now been named as far as that goes. But, you know, the Dominican Republic ranges. I mean, there are world-class resorts there as well. Believe me, they got water and lights. And then there are other that would just be hard scrabble at best. So I don't know. It's the other half of Hispaniola. It's an island, a Hades on the other half. It is quite poor, but like I say, they've got a few resorts that are creme de la creme. So apparently
just some of them,
The student is a native of India, and her family, mm-hmm. I think, has been living in a Washington, D.C. suburb. And so I don't have much information on her travel plan. So you saw something that said she was just in squalor?
Well, I think she was staying in the hotel that with some other college students from, I think it's University of Pitt.
Yeah, it's Pitt.
Like
it is University of Pittsburgh. It's Pitt, which is a really good school. And this is a spring break thing, as everybody goes on spring break.
Oh, sure.
And so I don't know much about, where they were domiciled and who she was with. I haven't kept really up on that. But it didn't occur to me she was in some place that was untoward. But did you hear a report somewhere that it was in good conditions?
Yeah, because they were showing a piece of the hotel where they were staying. And it had this particular hotel did not have any lights, no running water, very unsanitary, so...
Oh,
just not to say that everybody else on the island was, but particular,
Well, then that begs the question of how do they find, and it was the Rio Republica Hotel, but how did they how did they find this place? Because usually it'll be something that'll be advertised or what have you. And so I'm looking at it right now, saying it's located on the Arena Gorda Beach with free Wi-Fi, varied gastronomic offerings, and the best 24-hour all-inclusive service. So
all-inclusive, of course, yeah.
They make it seem nice, but then what's happening, I guess, is hotel horror stories since then. You really wonder, how they wound up here. And it supposedly was 5-star adults only. They're saying there was an electrical outage, not that the hotel didn't have lights, but that the entire neighborhood didn't have lights. And
then that's what that is.
Yeah,
okay.
They restored service 2 hours later. And in some cases, it was a little longer than that. But apparently in those 2 hours, they've timed it to the disappearance. But it doesn't sound, and again, so I don't have the Rio Republica brochure, but it doesn't sound like this is an untoward place. It sounds like, here we have an island power loss in this area, and there's a problem. But I don't think it's a thing where they were in squalor. At least nothing leads me to believe that they were in squalor conditions.
Okay, so electricity outage.
Yeah,
that's why we see the
That's what I think. I don't think that it, you know, I understand the picture you're drawing, believe me, and I don't think that that is accurate. But I'll look for more.
So they're seeing that because they didn't find, like, a body floating in the water, so they're thinking then there was some funny business going on, particularly with that person of interest.
Right, and that's because there are some videos where they show that there is that she's with one male.
They're walking together,
I don't know. At this point, it is all conjecture, but from what I know about the advertisements for this hotel is that it is very nice, and it's a part of, it's on the beach, obviously, the white sand beaches and all that, so good views and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and you know, it's like 17 miles from the airport and all that, so no, I don't think that the location was untoward in any way.
I remember calling you, I think it was sometime last year, about a man who got into the jacuzzi, and he got electrocuted because of some. Remember that? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Was that at the same hotel?
No. Yeah, that was in Mexico.
Right. That's what I thought. Yeah. I mean, you're always going to have events. Unfortunately, obviously, but I'll withhold any thoughts until. You know, until we hopefully find
her. We get a police report.
We hopefully find her alive, but if not, find her remains.
Right.
But until then, everything's conjecture. And just while we were talking, I went to Expedia because some of those reviews tend to be particularly harsh when people don't like it. And it's mixed. It's certainly not one where you'd say, oh, my dear Lord, why would anyone say that? Overall, they have a 7.4 rating, 1,433 five stars and 498 one star. So it's a pretty good representation. So, no, I think the place was fine.
Yeah, I made my decision based on those reviews. You know, I don't know if people actually check those out, but I have made my decision looking at those reviews.
The only thing to know is they're not all real. Always keep that in mind. In fact, there are entities that people can pay to make great reviews for them. So no, you got to take it.
Massage review,
I mean, I'm not saying don't look at it. Absolutely look at it, but look at it through a jaundiced eye, knowing that some of those reviews are absolutely paid.
Yeah.
But in any event, I don't see any flags on this where people are saying, you know, get out. It's not like that. Well, we'll see. I hope that there is an answer. And of course, I really hope she's alive. But if not, I hope there's a body.
Let's hope she's alive, right?
I would hate for her family have to go through years of this, like that Alabama woman whose daughter was missing in Aruba for forever, you know, and all that. So.
Oh, Hathaway.
Yeah,
I think it was Hathaway, right?
Holloway. So we hope it's not a protracted thing, and more to the point, hopefully this will be all right. But we'll see. But I don't think it's the resort.
Regardless, if it's spring break or any other time, and particularly with young people, they should always be in a group, particularly females. You always hear talk about that.
Yeah, well, I would tend to agree with that also, particularly if you're in a country that is not speaking the language you are for the most part. You know, you're on foreign shores and all that. Absolutely stay in a group. I agree with that 100%. All right, well, we'll see.
I speak Spanish in Mexico when I went to the resorts, so, you know.
Yeah. But but for this young girl coming from Pitt, who hopefully it'll be all right. We'll watch.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
All right. You're going to a news break. So,
I am
all
doing
right,
that.
Have a good weekend,
thanks.
Everyone.
Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Indeed. So we will find out what's going on in the world at large and get back to it on WGN Radio.
I know it's
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. You see, that's Dee Clark. You'd be right, but in this case, the leader of the Cool Gents, 1956 on VJ. I just can't help myself. Yeah, a fine song. And that was the first of Jimmy P's six-pack. We'll probably get to play about four of them tonight, and then we'll do the rest of them next week. But they were a fine choice of records as far as that goes. All right, so now, where were we? Eclipse. We mentioned that, I think. By the way, this Chicago, 0% chance of rain. Nashville, 0% chance of rain. Now, if you're in San Francisco, there's 100% chance of rain. But if you're in the Midwest, Fargo's not a good chance. In New York, it's going to rain in New York. Forget about it. But anyone in Chicagoland has a good seat for the eclipse. So what time is it, you ask yourself? Well, Central Time, I'd say the operative times are 1:30 to 2:30 in the morning, Friday. So it should be pretty good. And if you can't, by the way, go outside. They always have things online, like you can see the whole thing online. But if you can, go out and view it for yourself. Unlike eclipses when the sun is directly involved and you can't stare at it, well, the nice thing about the lunar eclipse is that you can stare right at that moon. No problem. So check that out. And of course, what's the significance? Well, you can decide. Astrologically, you know, astrologers live for this stuff as far as that goes. And eclipses, more than anything else, are timing events. In other words, not necessarily that something happens because of them, but something that's going to happen, the timing of it will happen because of it. So that's pretty much it. But as I mentioned, it's a blood moon. So that's not astrological, by the way. But a blood moon, what does that mean? Beats me. Actually, I do know, because I've looked this stuff up. It's just because it looks red, basically. It turns reddish and copper. And that'll be even nicer for the eclipse. So, 888-876-5593. In fact, speaking of the eclipse, I believe Jim in Richmond wanted to touch on that. So, Jim, what you got?
Yes. You were talking about the blood moon, and you were talking about the new moon coming up later in the month. Uh-huh. I just want to let you know that my friend, she's totally into that, and she said about the eclipse, and I haven't heard you mention it, but she said with the eclipse that's coming up, a lot of people will be totally confused. She said, you know, as it's going on, you'll go, I don't know what I'm seeing, you know, and what I'm feeling. And I just wanted to let you know that it was coming up until you mentioned it tonight, you know.
Yeah, in terms of that, you can look at it a lot of ways. I think where she's getting that is the fact that it's happening in the sign of Virgo. There'll be a percentage of that for sure. But as I say, and she'll probably confirm this if she's really into astrology, is more than anything else, eclipses are timing events. They'll actually, when things are going to manifest, the eclipse will usually push it over the edge. But it's a letting go and positive change as far as that goes, but definitely a letting go.
Right, and she follows all that stuff,
and
she's totally into it. And if one day I can ever get her to call in,
sure,
she will tell you a lot of stuff about what's, you know, happening and stuff.
Sure.
And she's totally, you know, in tune to what's happening.
Now, those who look at it, some of these astrologers with a political bent, they're looking at this astrology, this particular blood moon and all that, as being a time when maybe secrets will be unveiled. Maybe it will be a revealing eclipse. You know, of course, it's easier after the fact to look back and talk about it. In advance, who knows?
Right, and she is totally in tune with things, because I wish one day you and her could sit down and talk.
Well, she's welcome to call anytime. I'd love to hear from her.
No, but I mean, off the air.
No, nobody talks to me off the air, Jim, because they don't want to talk at 4 in the morning.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But she has been in tune to a lot of things that she has told me that she was in another life. She was at, I can't think of it now, but what was that area in that they can't find?
Maybe she was an Arcturian.
No, she was. She was at the place that they've been looking for.
Oh, you mean Atlantis? You mean Atlantis?
She was in Atlantis.
Okay.
And in another life, she was in Atlantis.
All right.
And she was a healer, and they all left Atlantis on shovels.
Okay.
And
they had to get out. Yeah.
Right. And they had to leave on space shuttles.
Yes.
And
Atlantis and Lemuria. Don't forget Lemuria, the polar opposite over there, the other half of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she is totally into all that. She is a total healer because she is the greatest, you know.
Okay.
She could give you a massage and tell you exactly what's wrong with you. And
excellent.
She was a healer in Atlantis, but
right.
I just wanted to let you know about that.
Excellent.
She said this eclipse is, you know, going to mess with a lot of people's mind tomorrow.
Well, it'll be interesting if it reveals anything we don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just want to put that in because you didn't mention till tonight that there was going to be an eclipse.
Yeah. Well, there is, and I'm glad you brought it up as well. Thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for being there for
always,
me.
Always. Talk to you soon. All right, again, what astrological significance you want to give it, I don't know. Atlantis is fascinating, and like I say, the polar opposite on the other side of the Earth is Lemuria, and there's a lot of talk about, and of course, you know, there is absolutely no actual proof that these places existed. We think they did, and there's been things under the Atlantic Ocean that would lead us to believe that they did, but still it's a case of belief more than proof at this point. And who knows? And then there are people. Some people think, well, Atlantis, they misused their power in such a way that, you know, they had to get out of Dodge. There's other people who think, no, it's the cyclical nature of Earth. You know, the cycles, the 12,500 year cycles and the 50,000 year cycle, that the cycle came and did it. So hey, I don't know. I'll leave it to greater minds than mine. But I hear some of this stuff because, as I've mentioned before, When I'm asleep, or when I'm trying to go to sleep, I turn on, you know, YouTube and find things that are just interesting enough that my mind doesn't wander, but not so interesting that I'm going to be awake and in tune. And lately I have been finding a lot of people who are talking about the Earth cycles and where we are in that, or, you know, about Atlantis and Lemuria and all that. And all I can tell you is it works like a charm. I sleep like a baby. So we'll get to Mark and Aurora and James on the South Side, Kenny in Chicago about scams, Stacy in Algonquin, the new moon. I didn't mention that, I don't think, but I need to discuss the new moon. And in case you were wondering, the new moon is in fact coming up. The date, yeah, I've got it right here. Let's see, where was it? March 29th, 5:57 in the morning Central Time. Good luck on that. Maybe the night before. All right, that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
Do, do, do.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Jackie Roo never found a song to which she couldn't cry to, and that's The Starlights, featuring Jackie, with Valerie, and that was one of Jimmy P's requests. Right, and if you're looking for it, you got to understand they misspell Valerie, so that's V-A-L-A-R-I-E, and it was on Fury, one of Bobby Robinson's labels, in 1960. So, all right. Go, Jackie. Now, 888-876-5593. Stacy is in Algonquin. Hey, Stacy. Stacy. We lost Stacy. Well, maybe that's because she got what she came for, the date for the new moon, and I gave it to her. The new moon is Saturday, March 29th at 5:57 in the morning Central Time. So if you write your prosperity checks and all that stuff, if you get up early, that's great, 5:57. But if not, right before you go to bed on the 29th, on that Saturday, make sure, well, actually, I guess that's that Friday night, the 28th, what you'll be doing. So I'll confuse you. Friday the 28th, when you go to bed, you can do your prosperity check. Otherwise, get up early, Saturday morning, 5:57 a.m., and do it. All right, so 888-876-5593, now that we have settled that. We have Jeffrey and Alsop. Hello, Jeffrey, what's up?
Yeah, listen, I don't know if you heard about it, but they rated the top 50 people or 40 people from Saturday Night Live. And to me, John Belushi was by far number one, but they rated him only number 8. I was wondering if you heard about that.
Who did the rating?
I don't know who did the rating, but it was on another radio program, and I was furious because to me, John Belushi was far ahead of everybody else. He was crazy, and I don't know if you ever remember any skit, but he did the one where he was a samurai, and he did all kinds of jobs.
Yeah, you got to understand. Television and movies is not me. I saw one episode of Saturday Night Live. It was in 1975 when it began, pretty much.
And that's when John Belushi started.
The only thing I remember about it that made me laugh out loud was they did something for the hearing impaired, and they had a little circle in the corner with a person, and so she just shouted the words, and I thought that was truly hilarious. And that's about all I remember from it. I've never watched it since then.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, I'll tell you, he did the samurai delicatessen skit.
Okay.
And in it, he forgot to put mustard on the sandwich.
Okay.
So the customer complained, and he pulled out the sword, and he was going to stab himself.
Okay.
And so the guy said, no, I like the sandwich just the way it is.
Okay.
And he did that kind of crazy insanity. The thing about it is that, did you know that several times he cut himself on that sword? And you never saw it, but he was bleeding like crazy one time, and he hid it from the camera, so you didn't see it, but the blood was just spraying all over.
All right, here's the deal. I looked this up. Apparently, not only was this unscientific, but it is just the opinion of pretty much TV Guide. So, you can make what you will of it. It's just really a way to sell TV Guides.
Well, anyway, what I was going to finish about that is that he did that several times, but one time he bled for about an hour because he couldn't get the scene right.
Okay.
And so they kept seeing the blood, and it was getting worse. But he finished the scene and then almost fell because he lost a fair amount of blood. And there's one other thing about that show that I loved. Jim Henson did one where he did the thing with the dinosaurs. They were Muppets.
Okay.
And they were, one of the dinosaurs I remember was called Scrag. But there was this female dinosaur that comes up to them. And they're staring at her cleavage and they're making their remarks. And what was so funny, I bust out laughing, they kept making these remarks, and finally the cloth or what, I don't know what they were, Muppets or character kind of things. But she says, she looked at the two male dinosaurs, and she says, oh, you like my boobs? Well, here, have one. And right on TV, she pulled one off and stuck it on the head of one of the dinosaurs. And I bust out laughing like hell. And the guy says, He says, well, how do you like my new accessory? And he goes, oh, that's just fine. And then they go, well, why don't we go to the bar and show it to our buddies or something like that, and walked off the scene. But it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on that show.
Well, kudos to
and,
the writers.
And that was very early.
All right, like I say, kudos to the writers. It's hard to write humor for an entire hour every week. God love them. But obviously it worked. You remember it. You talk about it. So whatever they did paid off. I can't join the conversation.
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd mention it because, you know, I'll tell you, some of these people, I don't like their ratings. They said Eddie Murphy, by the way, was number one.
It's not official. It's not official. There's nothing about it other than one journalist's opinion or the opinion of TV Guide. You could come up with your own poll. But I'm glad you called, and it's time for the news, and we'll talk to you again. Thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll see what's going on in the news at large and get back to it on WGN Radio.
The ship of love carried you from beneath me, but I'll always love you for eternity.
James, that's for Jimmy P. It's the second of a six-pack, and that's the Nutmegs, yeah, the group that had Story Untold. Well, this was Ship of Fools in 1955, and group member Leroy Griffin wrote that. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All right, so we have Gary in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh, and I was just thinking about polls. You know, they're all so subjective because,
of course,
something you like, you know, others aren't going to. And maybe the people who took that poll were younger than, say, the John Belushi bit. I mean, I don't know when he died, 82 or 3, somewhere around there. And maybe most of the people who took it were born in the 90s. So they might not have seen that bit that often. So they know more contemporary things. And it's just, you know, those things are just interesting to look at, but who cares, really?
Well, of course. Now, I didn't read it. It was a TV Guide article. But like I say, I'm not sure there was a poll. It might have been a TV Guide writer's thoughts, you know, as far as that goes. But it's impressive that, you know, the excitement expressed for the show and what they liked and what they didn't like and all that, that's pretty good writing for somebody to even care to remember it. That's about all I can say. I found the article on TV Guide. Now, let's see if they say where this comes from. So this is an unscientific list that takes a few factors into account. All right. So this is a writer who just decided.
Okay, they just like who he likes.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, that's the interesting part. The article is Liam Matthews, I guess it is. Liam Matthews. Now, let's see. Liam Matthews is a writer for TV Guide, helping you find the right thing to watch next. Well, thank you for your help, Liam. All right, so that's the deal. He wrote it, and that's what he thought. But it's 50 years later, still on the air, and successful enough that it's getting people's goat who don't agree. All right.
Mm-hmm. He's probably about 45, so he knows probably people in that age bracket are more familiar with who he watched.
Yeah. So. Yeah, like I said, I only saw it that one time. I remember I was still in Nashville promoting records and all that, and I was over at the house of a general manager, and the show had just come on, and I don't know if it was the first week or one of the first weeks, but it was brand new. And he said, well, let's see what this is about. And the only thing I remember was that Garrett Morris bit about news for the hearing impaired, you know, that was just so hilarious.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anything else about the show. And it was, you know, since I'm not really I didn't even have a television, but not the kind of thing that I ever saw again. So,
you know, I'd watch it here and there, but usually I'd hear the morning shows talk about it. And so
right,
I
get
didn't have to watch
That's
it.
Right. Exactly. Why bother when they're paraphrasing most of it anyway? Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they're not promoting anything on the radio station they work for, but they're talking about Saturday Night Live, but of course, most cases, the radio station isn't doing anything now anyway.
Right,
but that's,
right, exactly. That's, so, yeah. So there you have it. But you know, I mean, what you see on stage, with a few exceptions, obviously Chevy Chase was one of the writers, but most of those guys were reading scripts. The real hard part is, for 50 years, coming up with something entertaining for 1 hour once a week. And I'm sure sometimes they make it, sometimes they miss. But the fact that they do it as well as they do, my hat's off to everybody who's writing for that.
Yeah, and that success can't be, you know, you can say whatever you want about whether you want it or not, but it's been around, you know, for 50, and that's can't say too much else for that.
Well, and it's funny, because originally when they started it, the thing I also remember about it was the name of the show was not just Saturday Night Live, it was NBC's Saturday Night Live, because ABC had Saturday Night with Howard Live with Howard Cosell. And so for a year there,
I was trying to think who I knew other people that.
Yeah, it was Howard Cosell was the thing. That's what I remember that thinking. Well, and then they got to drop it. And of course, they can really thank Johnny Carson and his wonderful laziness, because they used to do Best of Carson on the weekends. And he decided he only wanted to work 3 days a week. And I love his spirit. And he went to NBC. At that point, he owned the show anyway. And he said, we're going to move those weekend repeats to the week so I can work 3 days a week. And of course, you know, NBC's choice was that or not, nothing. So they said, oh, that'll be fine. And that freed up the time for Saturday Night Live. So that's how, you know, I don't think anybody was expecting there to be a 50-year retrospective of it. At that point, it's just scrambling for what do we do with the time on a weekend, you know, and this was it. So it worked.
I think they were hoping to go for 50 months at that point.
Yeah, you know, well, if that, yes, right, even. Right. Yeah, get through the year till they figure something else out, you know.
Yeah, right.
I think it was like an October debut or something. So consequently, maybe they thought, well, by the end of the year, we'll come up with something else. And they didn't have to. Because I think their first hire was Gilda Radner.
Yeah.
And you know, that,
I thought she was funny.
That makes sense. Yeah, and certainly a recognizable personality. So, sure, it worked. I can't think of anything else in the entertainment vein that's on 50 years. You can talk about news shows like 60 Minutes or something like that. But as far as and I could be very wrong, since again my knowledge of television is, runs the gamut from A to B. And that's stretching it. Do you know of anything else entertainment-wise that's made it 50 years?
Not that I can think of, no. The only thing I can think of is Meet the Press, if that's even
and that's
still
on. Right, and
that's news.
Right, well, while I like to think it's entertainment, they think it's news. Yeah. God love them, and maybe they'll do it another 50 years. It's just how much has changed since 1975, when for most people, assuming they weren't in a city that was served by CATV, for most people, it was the big three networks, and that was it.
Yeah, we had 4, 5, 8, 11, and 13, and a U, and the other U's were getting ready to come on a couple of years later.
Right. Absolutely. And the big markets did have independence, of course, and some of that was hilarious to watch in the 50s. Now, if it continued in that vein, I would have had a TV for sure, because that stuff was unbelievably bad to be wonderful. But yeah, the U's, I remember when that first proliferated, and of course, back then it was the U's went up to Channel 83. They didn't have a need for that after a while. But remember, the grocery stores would give you the circular antennas. And so, you know, because after all, you couldn't get it on your, and some television sets, the earlier ones, didn't have UHF. And so then when it was mandated, it was also slide rule, you know, just spin the dial, don't click in a channel.
Well, one of our U's had a pay service on at nine, and you could tune, you kind of off tune it a little bit, and you could hear the audio really well. So I don't know what kind of picture you could get, some sort of semi-picture, I guess, but that was kind of interesting to play with that.
Oh, absolutely.
In the middle of the night.
And And Pat Weaver did a lot of that. That was Sigourney's dad, did a lot of that early pay TV stuff. So,
Inventor of the monitor, if I remember correctly.
Exactly. Well, nice walk down memory lane, as usual.
Yeah. Just a few thoughts about polls.
Yes, very good, very good. All right, thanks for calling. Okay. Appreciate it.
Tell the guy it'll be okay.
It will be. Yes, indeed. Thanks. Yes, that's right. That's right. Chill, cool yourself, calm. But, I'm sure that those with a vested interest in that show love hearing those kind of conversations. Yeah, 50 years, going strong. Robert and Stickney, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh. I don't know if you recall, probably not, but a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the Admiral radios and the old radios. But then we got to the. I asked about the Stromberg Carlson 78 RPM record changer, and we were up against the news. I was wondering if you could give me just a little background about the company.
Oh, it's still there, by the way. You can go online.
Wow.
It's not record players anymore, but you can go to StrombergCarlson.com anytime you want. But yeah, they absolutely had 78 RPM with AM radio players, and it was in a little wood cabinet, and it had tubes, and it played all the shellac, and but also later you had what they would call portables. I'd call them luggables. They had all sorts of things, but they're still around. So,
I didn't realize that.
Now you got to remember, this predates radio, because Stromberg Carlson was formed in the late 1800s. They were doing early telecommunications, and it was a couple of Swedish immigrants, hence the name Stromberg Carlson. And this was in Chicago. And it was one of five companies that controlled the supply of telephone equipment, and that was through World War II, pretty much. They were making a number of things, and their rival was Western Electric, and in fact, Western Electric, there was an attempt for them to take over Stromberg Carlson, and there was a bitter fight and all that. And this was the turn of the last century. You know, this was like 1900, 1904, in that range. They actually passed state laws to protect companies from takeover efforts. They were purchased around the same time. I think it was 1904, but early. They were purchased by a service provider in, of all ridiculous places, Rochester, New York. And it was you love this. It was the Home Telephone Company. Yes, well, they were home telephones at that time. And what they did was they relocated from Chicago to New York and to the Rochester area. And so that's when they really started with consumer electrics. And, of course, home telephones, not as good as Western Electric, but that's my opinion, radio receivers. And then when television came out, Stromberg Carlson made television sets. And they also had a radio station, WHAM in Rochester, big radio station, WHAM. They owned it. And they also did early FM, and I don't even want to talk about it. It was really early FM. You don't want to hear it. And in any event, in the mid-50s, GD, General Dynamics, bought them. And
I remember that name. Yeah.
Right. Well, at that point, the broadcasting stations were sold. And so, but they were doing a lot of PBX. And to tell you how recent this is, you know, when Disneyland was being constructed in 1970, they used Stromberg Carlson switches. It was a cross-read PBX. And you can. Wow. There's probably something online about cross-read PBX. You'll be able to see that. And they were one of the first to digitize PBX, DBX they called it. And they did a number of things. And did a lot of switching. And so I think it was the 80s. But there again, you need to talk to somebody who has dates in their mind, and that's not me. General Dynamics sold it.
Yes.
And they sold it to different players. And I think that the central office business switching was sold to Siemens, I think. But they were sold to different people, and who cares. But then Siemens, because of the Siemens tie-in, it became Siemens Stromberg Carlson. And that would have been like the early 90s. I mean, you would have seen that name. They became a huge vendor of central office switches. And, now when you're talking about telephone central offices, I mean, this is embarrassing to admit, but until the advent of the kind of technology I use to get my show online from point A to point B, all we used to care about when we would move somewhere is how many feet were we from the central office. And, I couldn't live anywhere that was more than 20,000 feet from a central office because, of course, I was using ISDN lines and I had to be closer. And so, you get to know, okay, well, it's a central office. Well, what is it? Is it EAS? Don't tell me there's still a crossbar. Nobody was step by step at that point. But this is the business they were in. And they ultimately moved to Florida and then they sold it. And by the time they sold it, it's like the mid-2000s, and I'm out of it by now. Now I don't care. But they continue to this day. Now, while we're talking, I'm going to go there because I'm sure I'll be embarrassed if their website isn't still there. But okay. StrombergCarlson.com, Stromberg Carlson Products Incorporated, about us. What about us? Our grandfather, David Stromberg. Okay, so it's a little history thing. And now let's find out. We're going to shop. What can we buy? Let's see. You can buy a lot of things that aren't radio or television or electronic. You can buy RV steps. You can buy cargo storage carriers, bike racks, shower rods, laundry accessories. I am not making this up. They're very big they're very big in RV now. RV jacks, handrails.
Wow.
But they're still around.
Wow, they got into everything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything about electronic switching, so no, I assume that the deal is there's still family involvement in that. So good for them.
Wow.
You know, that's terrific. And so it's run by the third generation, Bob and Charlie, the grandsons of David Stromberg. So, so if you need RV help, I guess they're your guys. If you want to switch, I think you need to go elsewhere.
Yeah. Oh, could I put in a quick request for sometime next week?
Yeah.
I know you're preempted tomorrow. Yeah. The kids on Banshee and Mega Banshee just threw the strolls at us. It was either, I forgot the name of the group, but it was the ballad or the story of Betty and Dupree.
Oh, of course, absolutely. I'll try to play that for you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Good deal. Thanks for calling.
Okay,
bye.
Sure. Bye-bye now.
All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Gather around me, everybody. I'm going to tell you a story about Betty and Dupree.
WGN Radio. You say it, I play it. Now, a lot of people remember Chuck Willis, 1958, on Atlantic. Yes, Betty and Dupree. I don't know how many know that it's an absolute true story. All right, here's the deal. Dupree was Frank Dupree. He was 18 years old. He'd kind of just become a petty thief, in Atlanta. He was out of work. He's living at a boarding house. He falls hard for a 17-year-old girl, Betty Andrews. And over a period of 6 days, he is spending all of his recently ill-gotten wealth on her. And by the end of the week, she says, look, if you want to keep courting me, I expect more nicer things, even a diamond ring. And so, and by the way, I should mention, this is 1921, and this is just before Christmas, December 15th, 1921. Dupree, Frank Dupree, downs a half pint of moonshine, pays a visit to Kaiser's Jewelry on Peachtree, manages to get a manager to show him an immensely expensive diamond ring. He snatches it, he runs for the door, he slams into Irby Walker. Irby was a part-time Pinkerton agent hired for the holiday for security. And initially, Dupree is falling back into the store because, you know, basically Irby's ready to knock him out. Well, Dupree had a gun, and so he draws it from his pocket and he kills Walker. He bolts down Peachtree Street, wounds another man, finally makes good on his escape. Initially, he stops off at the boarding house because, of course, after all, the boarding house, by the way, was the famous Kimball House Hotel. And he gets there to find Betty Andrews, and he got her that diamond ring. And so now the city at this point is in, quote unquote, the grip of crime, and there's a manhunt. Well, you're not going to find him there because he has paid a driver to take him to Chattanooga, where he pawns the ring. And then he spends several weeks on the run. Eventually, they catch up with him in Detroit. And then this becomes quite the story. He's captured. He's returned to Atlanta for quick trial. The prosecutor wants good old-fashioned justice, wants to hang him. And so he was sentenced to hanging. But Georgians were fascinated by this. And there were like months and months and months of legal appeals, petition campaigns, and they were all debating, was he a naive youth, a high-grade moron? Was he worthy of mercy? Or was he, in fact, ready to be hung? Were his supporters maudlin sentimentalists and sob sisters? And this went back and forth. Well, ultimately, they hung him. All right, so, yeah, cut to the chase, Raleigh. They hung him. All right, so this is, again, by now it's 1922 that they've hung him. And the Grateful Dead did it and other artists. But Chuck Willis wrote Betty and Dupree. So now you know the story of Betty and Dupree. So, 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Laura is in Willowbrook. What's up, Laura?
Oh, I got to take a speaker there. Go ahead. Okay. I have a music question, and I know I'm always learning something from you, but I feel so silly that I don't know this. I was online yesterday and wanting to know what the top 100 songs of the 60s was. And I don't even remember the name of the song or who the artist was, but it says, such and such a song, it was a fifth hit of that time, and it's remastered. And I thought, okay, that's good.
No, you do not want remastered. All right, I talk about this all the time. Now, the reality is the mixes that originally made these song hits, they were mixed for a 45 RPM record, and many of the producers were nothing short of geniuses. But years later, when they were coming up with CDs or other digital qualities, they wanted to, quote unquote, improve it. Well, they changed the mix. And as far as I'm concerned, you make one change to that mix and you're out of town as far as I care. So no, I don't want something remastered. I don't want something remixed. None of that. Now, some other people who don't remember the songs originally may say, well, you know, the quality is better. But like I'll always say about Motown, they gave Motown a complete soulectomy when they remastered that for CD. They ruined those songs completely, because when you listen to some of them, the vocals are very often, with all these records, mixed deeply into the instrumentation, and that's for a reason. Well, a lot of these jerks who are remastering, they bring the vocal up front, And in the process, they cut out all the soul. And you can really hear it on some of the Brenda Holloway stuff. Like, I use that as an example often, like, every little bit hurts. On the original mix, that was a plaintive cry. But on the remaster, that was a bold statement. And it's not a bold statement. So, you know, it's up to you. But if it's remastered, I don't want it.
Wow. Oh, I would like to listen to a couple of them just to compare and see what you're talking about. But yeah, this sounds like it wasn't a good idea. What are they thinking?
Well,
if something's great, leave it alone.
Well, the people who were doing it were not around when the records were hits, number one. Number two, they weren't AM radio listeners, which is most of what that stuff was mixed for anyway. And so what they hear to their ears sonically is that they can improve it. But what they don't understand is that the people who want it the way they heard it on the 45, period. And, you know, I cringe because on a lot of the stuff I put on this computer, I put like 8,000 songs on this computer. So it's easy for me to play stuff, but a lot of them I ripped from CDs, and when I hear them, I'm like, oh my god, you know, it's not the original mix, and it just kills me. But I didn't have time to, you know, take the pops and clicks out of 8,045s on this, so I just threw it. Wow. Some of them are, but some of them are not. So you know, it's up to you. And I sometimes it's an alternate take too. In other words, they're not using the take that was used on the 45, but another take entirely. So it's up to you what you want. You know, John, who is not familiar with much of this music, very often he'll like a CD version because he doesn't know how it was supposed to sound originally. To me, Snuff Garrett was a god. Don't mess with his mixes, period. And one of the worst cases was, oh my god, they did a Leslie Gore Greatest Hits and they redid the mixes, and she should have sued him. I mean, it was that bad.
Wow.
And, you know, Quincy Jones knew exactly what he was doing on Look of Love, and it didn't need any help from a young recording engineer.
Wow. It's like, yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, if something is so awesome and it's a big hit, leave it the heck alone.
Well,
what
yeah, but
doing?
Again, well, they didn't, they were not around to hear it when it was a big hit. And again, they're not listening to it on the same, you know, on their little transistor radio or on their car radio. They're listening to it on you know, studio equipment that's bringing out every sound, and they're thinking, I can do better. But the reality is they can't. And I think Motown completely missed the boat when they did that. And that's why very often when I'm looking for stuff I cannot find, you know, I have most everything I want on 45, obviously. But when I have something that I just cannot find, I don't want to go to get an Atlantic CD or get a CD from a legitimate company. I want somebody who did bootlegs, who took their old 45s and put them to CD so I've got the right mixes.
Oh, there you go.
And that's
there
exactly what I look for. That's why all the Jerry Blavitt CDs are bootlegs. You know, that's fine. You can get the original versions on that. A couple of them they skipped. That wasn't so good. But for the most part, they don't. I absolutely look for the boots because I'm going to get a better version of the song.
Well, that's good to know. And real quick, can I ask a different question?
Absolutely.
Music-wise? Okay. How, like, if something starts out on a cassette, then they put it to CD. How the heck do they do that?
It never started out on cassette. Okay. As far as that goes, there is... If you're talking about something that would have been on cassette, there was a master recording, and that master recording went to a pressing plant. And very often it would be pressed on disc first, but it'd come out on disc. It could come out on 8-track. It could come out on cassette. But they didn't take a cassette and turn it into a CD. They took the master tape that they created the cassettes from and used that. And see, that's where the trouble begins, because they take that master tape and they remix it very often.
Oh, gosh.
So
oh,
they're not going from, they're never going from cassette to CD. They're going on the master tape that made the cassette can also make the CD. But that, like I say, if you've got somebody who's going to remaster it, run like the devil.
Yeah, Well, that's what I was wondering, so I thought, okay, well, what if it's on an 8-track, so that can they,
well,
again, take some off an 8-track, or is it messed up again?
Right. Nothing comes off an 8-track.
okay.
By the way, the whole concept of 8-tracks, Lear, the guy who invented the Learjet, he came up with this. Originally, it was a 4-track and then an 8-track. It has a movable head. This is the worst possible thing you can ever do sonically. You cannot move those heads because head alignment is a very big problem. So when I first heard this, this. I said, as long as I live, I will never get on a Learjet. If this guy could come up with this, I don't trust anything he does. And that was the big problem with 8-tracks. The movable head would very, very often, not be in full alignment. But again, nobody's taking an 8-track and putting it to disc. Well, actually, in a couple of cases, I've done that. But that's only because it was the only way I could find it. It was something that I put on 8-track and then lost the damn CD, lost the damn 45. Wow. I don't advise anybody do that. And believe me, no studios have ever done that. They're not. They're taking the master tape that created the 8-track, and then they're taking that. And, of course, 8-tracks were moving at 3 3/4 and cassettes at 1 7/8. Now, you absolutely do not want to turn those into CDs.
Okay.
And nobody ever has, as far as I know.
Well, as always, you're so full of knowledge, and I've been wondering about these things for a long time. So I really appreciate. We're going to miss you till Monday, Raleigh.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, sports triumphs, anything I have to say. So,
all right, take care.
All right,
thank
thanks.
You.
Appreciate it. Yes, right, that's that's for sure. It's got it all over me. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And I don't know if he's still with us. He's been hanging on for a while. If so, Kenny in Chicago. Are you still there, Kenny?
Raleigh, I've been listening to you all evening.
All right.
And there is no bigger brain than yours.
Oh, yes, there are. But thank
you. No, it is. You know what, Raleigh? I learned more listening to your show than I did during all my years in reform school.
Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing that I say that will ever be useful to you, but it might be interesting coffee table conversation.
That's not true at all. It's Kenny, the brother of James and Charles Calvin of the Four Shells.
Yes, and I talked about you on the air. I got your letter, and thank you for that. You know, it takes us forever to mail anything. And,
oh, no problem
and
at
it,
all.
It may take another year, though. We're pretty close.
I don't even care. Let me tell you something. You are so great to listen to. You know, I just want to tell you, I don't want to take up all your time, but you know what? Just to make some quick comments, you know, back to that guy calling about the Saturday Night Live skits.
Yeah.
I was just like you. You know what? I was in St. Louis in grad school during then. I think I watched the first couple of shows and let's just say, what the skits that guy described as hilarious, Raleigh. Let's just say that falls into the category of you say tomato and I say tomato.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. And also the guy who called in about the unfortunate incident with the young lady in Dominican Republic.
Yes.
You know what? My wife and I have vacationed in Dominican Republic more than a dozen times, including the resort where the young lady disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, unfortunately, when you mix in naivety along with alcohol and weed in those resorts, you know, they got con men and gigolos down there just like they have all over the world. Unfortunately, I think that's what happened. In fact, you know what, Raleigh? When I was listening to the guy talk, I was thinking about, remember the old Greyhound bus station on Randolph and downtown Chicago, where all the pimps and con men used to hang out waiting for the little naive girls from Iowa and Minnesota.
Right. Yeah.
And so many of them ended up, you know, in a bad way. And it's unfortunately, it's con men everywhere like that. So I think that was the case in Dominican Republic.
You know, you're probably right, because the resorts like that are, you know, comparatively very high dollar and very nice.
Yeah,
so,
that is a beautiful resort. Right. Me and my wife stayed at that resort.
So,
it's a beautiful resort.
So that's just like fertilizer to a con man.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah. And of course, you had me rolling on the floor when you were talking about the scams, when you were shocked that investment banking was the number one scam. Raleigh James, can you say Bernie Madoff?
Oh, no, I know, but that. Well, thank God that wasn't online. But yes, absolutely, Bernie. There are things
I
that would make.
How did Steven Spielberg fall for that? And all the rest of those ultra rich. Don't they have agents and attorneys and financial advisors? Look at all those rich people who fell for that.
Well, yeah, but see, here's why. And that was rich people, particularly like pension funds.
If
you're a pension fund or an insurance company, you have to make your money by reinvesting the money you have. Good point. You know, because let's face it, if an insurance company was only based on their premiums, we'd be paying $10,000.
Good point, Raleigh.
So when you know you've got to reinvest the money, now you're looking for the best returns. Now, of course, you're trying to be fiduciary responsible, but, you know, it's like the guy who was treasurer for Orange County, Bob Citrone. Man, was he here. And, you know, so when the legitimate interests are not paying much, and let's face it, you know, you go to deposit something in a CD, forget about it. So, you know, here's Bernie Madoff, who's got a stellar reputation, and he's got all the, because a Ponzi scheme, you don't know it's a Ponzi scheme until it falls apart.
Exactly right.
And so he continued to get people to put in money, which of course is what allowed him to pay it off and pay it off.
So
he had returns that on paper looked marvelous, and it wasn't until it cracked that anybody would have known, because it looked good.
You're absolutely right.
How do you know?
You're right. Like Grandmaster Flash used to say, it's all about money, and a damn thing funny in this.
Well, right, and if you have to get that interest rate, you know, that's why when they allowed derivatives to be based on the ratings to be based on what the underlying investment was, my eyes turned around, because you know that let CalPERS and everybody else get into
CalPERS,
these.
That's right. I forgot about CalPERS.
Well, if we talk long enough, we'll get to Lincoln Savings. But anyhow,
that's true. Let's not talk about Neil Bush.
And see, that's an equal opportunity thing. That's why I would say that. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. I can give you a story for either. But it's that necessity. You know, it's like a lot of people will say today, well, these radio stations that are just syndicating programming are not originating, they're just greedy. No, they're not greedy. They're trying to survive.
They're trying to survive, exactly.
And of course, we can talk about should they ever have been able to amass that kind of debt, but now we're talking about every industry. I don't care if it's grocery stores or banks or department stores.
Right.
You know, we've gotten to oligopolies. You know, everybody talks about, well, that would be a monopoly. Well, hell, we're already at oligopoly on virtually everything.
We absolutely are. We absolutely, you know, I was in the supermarket today, and Jill, what do you know, a bag of potato chips is $6.99 now?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
What the hell?
No, the price. You know, and that's another one of these subjects that I don't understand. I look at the housing prices, for instance, and if your interest rates are close to zero, maybe quote unquote you can afford the payments. But for the most part, the average person cannot buy these houses unless
you're
they're in severe debt. And with credit card debt, we used to say, well, that's just people overspending on luxuries. No, they're using credit cards to pay their rent. They're using credit cards to pay their groceries. This is not a luxury. And I still say, when everybody is paying at the gas pump, they're all paying with credit cards. And if they had to pay cash, you'd see a riot.
You absolutely would. You absolutely would. Let me leave you with these two tidbits. I love talking to you. When you mentioned the Barcades, when you played the Barcades.
Yeah, Soulfinger.
You know what? You made me, you brought back a wonderful memory when they got killed in the plane crash.
Yes.
Raleigh, my buddies and I held an impromptu memorial service right in front of the site of the old Regal Theater when they were killed in that plane crash. And also, when you brought up VJ Records, you got me thinking about Vivian Carter and her brother, who my brothers knew well, of course.
Calvin.
And my brothers always said that VJ Records would have been bigger than Motown if it wasn't for Vivian and her brother had, let's just say, Rolls Royce taste and poor financial management.
I understand that with Calvin, but I'll tell you, if you're really looking for a real cause, you better look at Abner. Because that
good point. And my brothers always said that. Exactly.
Abner was it. But you know, that's where in many ways the Beatles bankrupted them, because that that allowed
my brothers always said that.
They allowed them live high on the hog and all that.
Yep.
And it's 100% true, and it's really sad.
Yeah, my brothers always said they got caught up in the glitter with the Beatles. Yeah, yeah.
Well, they did, and then of course you know Abner gambled the payroll.
Yep.
God, yeah,
sure
he,
did.
Yeah,
sure did.
So yeah, but sure did. But you know, I'll tell you what. All that said, Calvin and Vivian and Jimmy, they gave us a lot of stuff that we would otherwise never have had.
They were awesome at what they did, but they had that fatal flaw. So you know,
yeah, no.
Say la vie. Say la vie. Raleigh, you're the best, okay? I listen to you all the time.
I'm so glad you wrote, and I will get that to you hopefully sooner rather than later, but don't hold your breath.
Sounds good. Keep it up, okay?
Thanks.
Love you.
Take Appreciate care. It. Bye-bye. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593. Have we taken the break? I don't think we have. We'll do it now on WGN Radio. And I'm Raleigh James. To quote the Angels, thank you and good night. Apologies to Sherry in Naperville, Mark and Aurora, James on the South Side, but we have next week some abbreviated shows, but certainly enough of me, and a full show on Monday for Monday Night Trivia. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank all of you who called. We'll do it again next week. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.